Yo. Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life, and we're going to go over to our phone line and talk to Dr. Feynman. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Yes, I am, and we have a few more minutes. It's only 14 after rather than 17 after, so it's good.
That's right. We had a very short one, didn't we, today? Oh, well.
Yeah, can I make a correction on something?
Please.
You say?
Sure.
There is no such place as Missouri Institute of Technology. It's Massachusetts.
Oh, did I say Missouri?
Institute of Technology.
I meant Massachusetts.
MIT is always. And there is, I don't think there is a Missouri Institute of Technology
probably
under
not.
That name.
I had been drinking.
Hey, and Blinken, not Lincoln.
Blinken
that's going to Ukraine.
I put it wrong on my little message about what we were going to talk about today. Hey, let me break in and say one thing that has nothing to do with your show and my show. A friend of mine just called me, one of the three members of the folk trio I sang with, the Overland Singers, Joe Peterson, or Jody. He goes by Jody now. I'm sorry, Joe. I always call him Joe. Anyway, Joe, I understand you're listening out there in Carson City, and Joe, thanks for calling. We'll have to get in touch with each other. I want to get you on the air with me maybe in 2 weeks, so we'll talk about that, all right? All right, that's all I had to say, Dr.
Where is Carson City? Nearby?
No, Carson City, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's listening.
Where that was, okay.
You know, you can hear us anywhere in the world just using our, you go to our website and click on Listen Online, and you can listen to us in Moscow if you want to. And
I don't think that he's paying attention, though.
I don't think so either, because if he was, his ears would be burning.
Yes, but, because I would say Putin is worse than most Republicans.
Oh,
I'm picking up on what Scott said. There's nothing positive to say about 95% of the Republicans in Congress. Yes, the Liz Cheney. Yes, the Adam Kinzinger. Yes, the Mitt Romney. Yes, the Ben Sasse. Yes, the Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah.
Yes, the Susan Collins. And a small number of others. But otherwise, the Republican Party is not the party of Lincoln, Eisenhower, Theodore Roosevelt, Reagan, the Bushes. Believe me, it is not. So
well,
there's nothing good to say except for those exceptions and maybe a few more.
I guess we're jumping right into it. Let's talk politics. Now, what do you think? Well, is it still going? Is the debate still going on? I'm not near
yes.
television. Okay.
Yes.
And what do you think? Is there any
hope? It's a miracle that some of those, quote, good Republicans who have principles,
yep,
like Murkowski and Collins and Romney and Sasse, it may not be enough to overcome, but I would like to see them do that. I don't understand, because everybody in the Republican Party in 06 voted for the voting rights extension, and 16 of them, of the Republicans, are still in the Senate today. Not all of them were, of course. Mm-hmm. Murkowski was there. She voted for it. Collins was there. She voted for it. I don't understand why the party line is all right to go ahead and take away people's voting rights or make it more difficult. To me, there's no way to say, oh, we have to give them a pass. No, you don't give the Republican Party a pass when all of them, apparently, even the ones that I think are better than others and have some decency, are going along with the crowd. That's not courage. It's not conviction.
I think their major cause is not to, is to stop anything that might give Biden a positive note. I think that's what they're doing.
Yes, and I just wrote about that whole issue with Biden, about the fact that, you know, people are saying, oh, he's failed. No, he has not.
No,
he has not had total success. But as I wrote today, first year in Oval Office under most presidencies, problematical, and Joe Biden better than many. Go back to John F. Kennedy the first year. Tell me that was a better year than Joe Biden. It was not. You can go back and go through a whole list of people that's the case. Honestly, Truman in his first year was not very good. Kennedy certainly was not. Nixon, not. Ford, not. Carter, not. Reagan, not. Clinton, not. Trump, never good, but certainly not the first year. The only ones that really had a good first year were indeed Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, and George H.W. Bush.
Hmm, that's interesting. I didn't know.
So I'm telling you that, of course he didn't get everything he wanted, but I think under the circumstances, he has done well enough that I give him a B.
A B?
A B, a Pearson
yeah,
boy, yes.
That sounds fair. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, do Dr. Feynman teaches classes. Now, Dr. Feynman, do you have students that ask you about that type of thing, about Biden and whether he's good or not?
Well, actually, we just started the course, so it really hasn't come up. We've only had 3 meetings.
Oh, okay.
I do not bring it up until the end when I talk about when I get to Biden.
I
try to avoid in class giving so-called, quote, opinions.
Yeah.
The only thing is my opinions are not just opinions. They're based on factual basis, because you look into these presidents and you realize, my God, these people all would fail, and yet 4 of those that I said had a horrible first year, Truman and Nixon and Reagan and Clinton, got reelected. So
yep.
To say that because everything hasn't worked out, and it's only because of 2 Democrats not going along and no Republicans willing to go along at all in an evenly divided Senate, only the 3rd time ever in U.S. history, I think what he's accomplished is a miracle.
Well,
president.
The 2 Democrats, or 2 Republicans that are on the January 6th committee.
That's the House, though. Of course, that's the House of Representatives. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's Cheney and also Kinzinger, yes.
Yeah.
And well, there's also those who voted to impeach Trump that I also commend. And yet they're not speaking up now. A few of them are deciding not to run again. That's a shame. But I'm telling you, Donald Trump is not going to be running for president in 2024.
I can't imagine.
No, he will not. He's going to face indictment. He's going to face trials. And he's also got someone who is more ambitious and, I think, more dangerous, actually that so, than he is, and that's the governor of Florida. He's out of control completely, trying to create a security group to monitor elections. It sounds like the Gestapo, as far as I see it.
Now, they're having some disagreements right now, are they not?
Yes, he's dangerous. I just wrote on Facebook, he's more dangerous, Ron DeSantis, than George Wallace was 50 years ago.
Oh, that can't be.
Oh, I think he is, and I wrote about George Wallace. You know, he was one of those, of course, subject to assassination attempts, and, you know, he was evil. He also finally, you know, came around and apologized. This man has no ability to apologize. He puts his wife into a system, you know, of going to public events, and she's also got to, you wonder about her brains. She has breast cancer, and they have no masks.
Yeah, that's
so
that's
I'm crazy. Telling you this. I think if his wife was in worse condition, he still would be ambitious and run, because he puts his ego ahead of everything else. And in a way, I think he's more dangerous because he's smarter, but he's very dangerous.
Now, the young man, he's not so young anymore, he's my age. The gentleman that's listening, Joe Peterson, lived in Laurel, Maryland, along with Bob Hildreth and myself. Bob and I lived within eye shot of where George Wallace was shot.
Interesting you used the word eye shot.
Well, we could actually look out our window and see that.
That was a horrible event.
Yeah.
I'm glad he survived, but he was paralyzed for life. But he did change his views in a lot of ways and made up for his racism and bigotry.
Yeah, well.
Now, that doesn't mean you get a free pass, but if you can recognize your faults, yes. But these Republicans now, they're all backing Trump, except for the small group again, or staying silent, and it's not going to look good in history. I'm sorry. It's not going to look good.
Oh, don't be sorry, because history doesn't care. History will report it the way it is.
Right? They don't believe history, or they don't believe science. They're experts without having any knowledge of science or history. There's plenty of those around.
So says Dr. Feynman.
What?
I said, so says Dr. Feynman.
Yes.
You guys are
angry. I don't have to use the doctor. I don't go around and claim
I know you don't.
Doctor.
I do it because it's a sign of respect. I'm
sorry. Okay, well, I have respect for you, too.
Well, you don't need to call me Dr. Kobel. That was my father and my grandfather.
Well, but I was amazed when I heard that you've had 21 places you've lived since you married, huh?
Yeah, well, I can't.
God, that's unbelievable.
I keep checking the different bathrooms, and I can't find one I like.
What's the longest place you've ever been at?
Probably.
Yeah,
that's
21 and 50 years?
Probably Athens, Ohio. I was there for 12 years.
Yeah. Wow. And some places only like a couple of years, huh?
Oh, yeah, and some places were very short. Like, when I was in the Army field,
I lived two different
places there. So, three different places.
Okay, but since you're married or since the military, how many?
Ooh, it's much
less.
Out the
military.
Probably 7 or 8. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it was really, when you were young, you were moving around a lot.
Yeah, I did.
But actually 7. But 7, that's a little more reasonable, yeah.
And when I was younger, I was trying to avoid all the girls I had gotten in trouble with, you know. No, that's not true.
Yeah, well,
Joe knows that's not true.
Yeah, in the years since I got married, I've been in, I guess, a total of 4 places I've lived in, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just 4, yeah. One was 4 years, one was 11 years, one was 4 years, and now it's 29 years in this house, and the mortgage is done.
Good. Yeah, I just counted it up on my little fingers. It's been 8 houses since my wife and I got married.
So. Okay, so I've had 4, yeah.
So I doubled you. I win, yay.
Yes.
Hey, tell me about Blinken's trip to Ukraine. Do you think he can do any good?
I don't know. It depends how much Putin believes that the reaction is going to be strong. I have to say this. Imagine if Trump was in the White House. What would be going on now? What would he be saying about it, Trump, about the threat? I'm sure he'd be saying nothing at all.
No, I don't think, I think you're right. I don't think he'd say anything because, as far as I could tell, he was all in with whatever Putin wanted to do.
And the Republican Party always was anti-communist and anti-Russia.
Yeah, sure.
Suddenly they all have bent and they don't seem to care. You know, nobody's saying much about it, you know, in the Republican Party. But except for a few. There's a few. Yes, I mentioned some names. Yeah, there are those, but not very many. And they are the future of the party, if there is any future, because being a Trump supporter is not going to guarantee you a good future or a good record in history.
Well, apparently the Trump supporter... It apparently is diminishing somewhat. Not very much.
Oh, I think more than a little bit. I think you know, I also think a lot of the people he's backing in the primaries, they win, but are not going to win are not going to win the seats.
A lot of them have not won.
Some have not, yes.
From time, you know, before COVID, when he was endorsing people, a lot of those.
No, they lost the House and the Senate under him.
Yeah, well, that's
true. And he never won the popular vote. He lost by massive margins, by 2.85 million, and then by 7 million.
Well, what do you think of the idea of Hillary coming back if Biden decides not to run? What do you think?
No.
No? I don't either.
I don't even think she'd want to run.
I don't think so.
I would say if she was the nominee, I don't know. I can't even imagine the idea of another Hillary Clinton-Trump election. But I think giving up on Joe Biden too quickly is not a good idea.
Yep.
We cannot predict the future. Anything can happen to anybody. But people have always thought that, you know, that he's underrated. And I think, don't be so sure he's not going to run, win. Even though I'm not sure he should run. That's another issue.
Yeah.
But I just think that he could very well run, win 8 years, and then people say, my God, we underestimated him, because I think he is underestimated.
I think so, too. Now, as I told you last week, I predicted that Biden and Harris would be the top two back in 2018, before they even knew each other. But I think Harris would be an excellent president if Joe decides not to run again.
The thing is, if he decides not to run and announces like next year, which he would have to do, it'll be an open thing where everybody will be able to run. So I don't know if she could win the nomination with probably 10 other people running. That I don't know. But if God forbid something happens to him, Joe Biden, and if she becomes president, I think she has a definite edge by having been in the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure she could win in a competitive primary against Pete Buttigieg, for instance, or Amy Klobuchar, and there are others, you know, even others that have not been thought of before. The governor of Kentucky has been mentioned, and others, Andy Beshear. I just think, you know, it's hard to know that she could do it from the outside just by being vice president. But, of course, if she succeeds, that would be a big advantage, just as Lyndon Johnson had.
Now, Amy Klobuchar has been very, very strong recently on television.
She looks better all the time.
Oh, she does. And she had a better makeup artist last night. That doesn't hurt.
Yeah. But I just think it's a shame how people pan Harris as if Mike Pence was really exceptional, or Dan Quayle was really exceptional, or Dick Cheney, although competent, was such an evil force, you know, with what he did, and benefiting his own, his own profit, and also going back to Spiro Agnew and others. I mean, Republican vice presidents have been horrendous. The Democratic vice presidents have all been exceptional.
Well, now, one of the things...
Except Bush is an exception. Bush 1 was a good vice president under Reagan.
Was he? Okay. Now, yeah, I guess he was. Yeah. Now, I think the people forget the vice president's job is to be in waiting and not to be critic of the president. It's supposed to be supportive. It's supposed to be in waiting. That's her job. And a lot of people think that because she's not coming out and saying this or that against the president, she's not doing her job. Well, you're wrong. Her job is to be supportive of the president.
But you know something? If she was a white male, they wouldn't be saying the same thing.
They wouldn't be saying it
and
at
even
all.
Even if Amy Klobuchar was vice president and acted the way she is, which is the proper way, they say, oh, she's a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And this case is woman and race.
Yeah, unfortunately, Harris has that going against her in a lot of us old white guys. Not you and me, but a lot of us. And not Joe either. Joe's a very forward-thinking gentleman.
Yes, he is. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but he's a decent, compassionate soul, and that's what I love the most about him. And I wrote this past week about Hubert Humphrey had passed away on January 13th, 1978. And in my blog, I wrote about Humphrey, how he was my original political hero, and I loved his compassion, decency, and empathy. And that when he died, I looked around in 1978, so now it's 44 years since he passed away.
Wow.
And I said, who is around in the Senate that's a little like him? And I looked at 35-year-old, which is what he was, Joe Biden, and I said, this is the guy. And ever since, although I didn't think he'd make it to the White House, he had bad opportunities that didn't work out earlier. I was happy he was VP, but I always thought of him as someone that I considered similar to Hubert Humphrey in his personality and manner.
What were the similar qualities that you saw?
Concern about others, which most Republicans don't have. Most Republicans, with a few exceptions, don't care. But he had empathy, he had decency, he promoted civil rights, he promoted the idea of Medicare before the LBJ came along. I'm talking about Humphrey now.
Yeah.
He promoted all kinds of important issues domestically that became the Great Society. We give LBJ the credit, yes, and he promoted it, but Humphrey had been speaking about these things for years before, and he's just such a warm, emotional person, and I just think he was exceptional, and I just gravitated to him as a young man. That this is my favorite. I preferred him over Robert Kennedy in 68 before Kennedy was killed. I would accept if Robert Kennedy had been the nominee, but I really thought Humphrey, even with the Vietnam War, he was tied to the president, couldn't really publicly disagree, so it hurt him, and that's why you think he lost to Nixon, and Wallace was also running. But I always thought that Humphrey was the right idea, and then he got cancer and died at 66, and that's when I said, who's like him? And out of anybody I've ever seen, Joe Biden comes closest.
That's cool. That's interesting, yeah. All right, let's talk about Trump's Martin Luther King Day speech and what the difference between Jim Crow 1 and Jim Crow 2 is. I think his idea is to go directly to Jim Crow 2, but his speech was so full of misinterpretations and lies that...
he lies all the time. I mean, he's done at least 30,000 lies while in office. And he constantly lies. The man is a social danger. He has always been, but he's always gotten people to back him up because of his wealth, or supposed wealth, but at least his family wealth. But I think he's still very, very dangerous, but people like Ron DeSantis also are very dangerous. They're authoritarian-oriented. It's very, very scary.
Yeah, now, why do you think, you and I both have, I'm sure, Republican friends, I know I have some, why do you think you, and I've asked this question, and the answer usually is silence.
They have nothing they can say in defense.
Well, yeah. Why do they support that? The laws.
Because they're locked into a party. If the Democratic Party today was acting like the Republican Party, I would repudiate it. Well, and I always repudiated the Southern Dixiecrats.
Yeah.
And that's what the Republican Party, most of them, has become. Whether they're Southern or Midwestern or whatever, they're Dixiecrats that are promoting racism and nativism. And now Islamophobia is part of it, and a lot of them are homophobic also, and there's elements of anti-Semitism among many of them. And don't forget, Trump did say F about Netanyahu accepting Biden as the new president, you know, the F word, so don't think of him as a great friend of the Jewish people either. He uses them, and he's made comments in the past that are anti-Semitic, but people just pass over it and just say, oh, he didn't mean it, or whatever. He means what he says, and he says an awful lot of evil things, and yet people accept it.
Speaking of being Jewish, which you are, I'm going to ask you a question about that, which I did not post. did you watch the show about Anne Frank that was on this past
week? No, actually, I did not. I read about it, but I did not see it. No, but that was very disturbing, but when people are in danger, they will sell their soul to protect their own family. It's despicable. It's horrible. I'm sorry I said the word despicable, but it is.
I guess that applies.
But I was upset and disturbed, but I think that's actually happening now with a lot of people, even with this situation with the COVID-19, that people don't want to wear masks, they don't want to get vaccinated, they don't care about anybody but themselves,
right.
And I want to bring up the horrible behavior of Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court about masking when Sotomayor has diabetes and now has to go and be in her chamber and listen on the phone rather than be with the other eight justices.
Because he all argument
because
it.
Roberts has to wear the mask up and Gorsuch will not. And I think there should be a demand. You have to do so. But I guess how can you enforce it? But what kind of a human being does that?
I don't know. Now, that thing with the Anne Frank, Arnold Vandenberg was the gentleman that they actually pointed the finger at with pretty strong, I watched the whole show, with pretty strong evidence that he was a Jewish gentleman who was on some group that the Nazis went to and asked to give up people and where they were hiding so that they could go get them. And Anne Frank's was one of the ones that was, her family was given up. Now, he did not know Anne Frank's. He didn't know the nature of the people that lived there. He just gave the location. He said there are Jewish people.
Yeah, one thing is not clear. Was he saved or did he end up dying anyway?
No, he died in 1950.
So he did survive the Holocaust.
He did.
Saying, yeah.
And the reason why he survived is because he, you know, and put yourself in this situation. You know, if you open up and say you're not going to provide that, then they're going to come and kill your wife, and I think he might have had a child. They're going to anyway, they're going to kill your family and you.
This is the evil of fascism,
And what would you do? I think I'd
It's hard, it's a really upsetting situation, yes.
It is. It is indeed.
I don't know.
Okay, now, I read an article about why people are quitting their jobs now. And I found that quite, especially
the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
It was Massachusetts, yes.
The famous MIT.
Yeah.
This toxic workplace is the reason.
Yeah, toxic and what they say, number one thing was the toxic just general culture of the United States. The failure to promote because of diversity,
equity, and inclusion, I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Workers feeling disrespected, that's certainly true. Unethical behavior or low integrity, abusive managers, and a cutthroat environment where they felt colleagues were actively undermining them.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people like the idea of working from home. Even if you have to see these ugly people that you don't like, you see them on a screen, you're not having to deal with them physically every day, you know. So a lot of people just decide the life is too important to give it up to this kind of thing that causes so much stress.
Well, and a lot of the people are giving up their job because they're not getting recognized for their performance. Because, you know, the bosses recognize themselves, but they're not going to tell somebody else that you did a great job, which made them look good.
Apparel retail is a lot of it, and also fast food and things like that. The people that are on the front line that have the most danger, and nobody gives a damn about them, and they get the lowest pay also in many cases, you know.
Yeah.
So it causes a lot of turnover, yes.
Now, we are getting, a lot of people are blaming Mr. Biden for the increase in costs at restaurants and stuff like that, but we are paying people better at the fast food restaurants because they can't get anybody to work there if they don't pay them better.
So yes, and also,
the price.
Of course, you don't want to pay more, but we all have to pay more, and we all have to expect that we want increases in pay.
Yeah.
That we have to be willing to pay, you know, pay also for it. So it shows, again, no concern about others, selfishness and greed, and no concern about anybody else among so many people. And that's the downfall of the society.
Yeah. And it's almost kind of natural, though. If you pay somebody for what they're worth, then somebody else has to pay whatever they produce, pay for whatever they produce, and it's kind of is snowballs its way down.
Yes,
but
I will say, I don't know for sure, but I wonder about a lot of the biggest complaint is the ones who make the biggest incomes, have the most assets, and they're just cheap. They don't want to pay anything more for help, you know, for workers, and they don't want to pay more for any pricing because they think they're going to take the money with them to the grave.
Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that. It's a sickness. It really is.
I'm not sure that they they got that right. I'm, you know, how much money can you take to the grave?
None.
The pharaohs.
Those are people, though, who are super rich, and they're ugly, disgraceful, human beings, who they have no concern about anyone but themselves.
Well, go back and look.
Karma will pay a visit, I would say.
There you go. Go back and look at all the Egyptian pharaohs, and their gold was still in their...
Yeah, but they didn't enjoy their time.
No, they didn't get it at all. I don't know. And some of them even put live servants into their tombs. So
yeah, that's horrible, yes. Well, they had no regard for human life.
Yeah.
The thing. A lot of people in this pandemic don't have regard for anybody else. I mean, how can you be a Supreme Court justice and realize, you know, that the one sitting next to you has diabetes, Sonia Sotomayor, and you don't give enough consideration or respect for your fellow worker to say, okay, well, I'm on the court, you know, in the group situation, I wear a mask. I don't have to wear a mask all day, every day, but my gosh, I care about him. I care about her. She's my colleague. What kind of a person does that?
Absolutely. Now, we have a great friend here in town, Mary Ellen Withrow, who was the treasurer of the United States back in 90-something. She has gotten COVID, and we're really holding. I think she's gotten past it now, but we were concerned about that. And she said she didn't get very sick because she'd had both shots and her booster. And we're really
that's the point. When you have the shots and the booster,
absolutely.
You might get sick, but you're not going to go into the hospital in most cases, end up on a ventilator, and die. And basically, people who don't want to do that are suicidal. That's what they are.
Well,
and karma will pay them a visit for their lack of concern for others.
I got to meet this karma. She goes around everywhere. Anyway, you know, though.
You're a comedian today.
Oh, I'm hilarious.
Is that your day job, being a comedian?
Well, I try to make my wife happy. That's what I
try, I noticed you said.
Yeah, I try. Sometimes I fail. The neat thing about having a daughter-in-law who is a nurse is she gave us a call 2 or 3 days ago and said, hey, you can get free COVID tests, all you have to do, and she gave us the address, and then it came out yesterday, the government said
that,
and we ordered ours on the very first day
I
also possible.
Did, yes.
I love that.
Yes.
If you don't think President Biden's doing something right, look at that. That's a great idea. And also...
compared to what Trump did and what he would have done if he'd been here for the last year.
Well, this...
Hero. Can you imagine another year of Trump?
With the Omicron variant coming along, we would all been dead. No, because my wife and I got our shots as soon as we could. But
yes.
Anyway. And we're still, by the way, nothing odd has grown out of my ears, and I am still active.
Yes.
And it's not going to hurt you to get your shot.
It might hurt. Polio. Otherwise, you'd have a lot of people who would have had polio and
I've
died.
I've been one of them. Maybe.
Same with the military. Yep. The same with being in school. It's insanity.
Yeah.
People who argue against vaccination and those who say masks don't help, they're not perfect. Nothing is perfect. But the people who say this don't know anything about science. They don't care about anything about medicine. It's just pure ignorance and self-centeredness. That inconveniences them.
Yeah, we have become, we used to be a citizen, a nation of proud, honest, empathetic people, and we have become a nation of me.
Yes.
And that's why
I really admire Joe Biden, as I did Hubert Humphrey. They're my heroes. Again, neither of them was perfect. They both talk too much, for instance. There are things you can say against them or anybody, but their character traits are so much better than so many political leaders.
Were you listening when the lady, or when the gentleman came on and talked about his wife who is in a wheelchair?
And yes.
Yes. Now, I was at that event, and in fact, I remember seeing Joe Biden go over and talk to a lady in the wheelchair, so I know that's a fact that he...
He does that kind of thing all the time over the years.
And
he keeps in touch with people. He remembers people.
Yep. Now, he was here twice, and I was at both of his events because I was active in supporting President Obama, and so I was able to go to both of his events. Now, the first one, I was on the stage right behind Joe Biden, and kind of happy I was there.
Did you actually say hello to him?
I'm sorry?
Did you actually say hello to him?
Oh, sure, because he turned around and said hi to all of us. I mean, he didn't come over and say, hey, can I come to dinner, but...
He's a warm, friendly guy. That's him. And so is his wife. His wife is great. And after the last first lady, oh, my God, like diametrically opposite.
Well, now, somebody said that Mr. Trump might be looking for a fifth because there's some new, I don't know.
Might be looking for what?
His fifth wife.
So it would be fourth. He has
fourth,
three
fourth,
wives.
Fourth wife, yeah. I don't know that.
Well, I have a feeling, but I don't know. I don't think she's very happy. I don't think she was ever happy being in the White House. And I think in many ways, in 2 years, which ironically is the election year, but their son Barry will become 18 in March of 2024. I don't think it really matters anyway, but I think at that point there might very well be a divorce proceeding starting.
I feel badly for Barron because it seems like he's not a happy young man. So.
No, he's not a happy young man, but he's also a very spoiled young man.
Well,
so that's not good for the long run either. The children all have issues because they're too privileged and don't have responsibility to society. They're just self-centered, and they're going to be in trouble, the older ones. They're already being investigated, Ivanka, Eric, and also Donald Jr., and also also Ivanka's husband.
We used to be a nation of strong wills, strong people, but we've lost that. We've lost that with the influx of money, and the world is controlled by money.
And more, a small percentage have almost all the money, and the middle class is suffering, and the poor are worse off. Yes.
Yeah. Now, we also had a discussion this morning by, I think, it was the same gentleman that brought up that thing about by his wife. We talked about talking to the general public when you're a political candidate. Now, as you know, I ran twice, and the second time was for state representative. I lost. I knew it. I should have been able to know that ahead of time. I didn't, but being a Democrat in this area, it was not a good idea. But the question came up, should I have avoided saying anything about my position on abortion, my position on guns, my position on religion?
You're lying to yourself if you do that. No, I never did run for office, but if I did, I would hope it'd be in an area that I'd have a chance to win, but I would run on conviction and beliefs.
That's
and
what I thought.
So
yeah.
Life goes on, but you have to live with yourself. You have to have a basic decency that you're going to say and back what you really believe. That's my belief anyway. Maybe I'm too idealistic, but that's why I guess maybe it's better I never ran.
Well, I would prefer to be idealistic and lose than to be a jerk and win. Yeah, I don't know. That's the way I felt.
Look at Jim Jordan as an example.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's ours.
He's monstrous. Oh, my God.
Well,
and he's going to end up in a lot of trouble now with this investigation.
You think he really will? I think he'll get by.
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to face prosecution. A lot of these people are. And there's talk of using, again, the 14th Amendment, Section 3, that anybody who promoted insurrection or rebellion or sedition cannot serve in the Congress of the United States. Maybe he won't go to prison, but they should all be banned from being able to run for public office, and that's happening. They're trying that in North Carolina with that 26-year-old Madison Cawthorn to prevent him from being on the ballot. None of these people should be allowed to run again.
I've heard about the guy. Is it North Carolina?
Where North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More power to the people that want to keep him off the ballot.
Yes.
Yeah. Now,
it should not only be that case. It should be all of the 139 House and 8 senators not be able to stay in public office.
Now, what do you say?
There were people banned from serving from the time of the Civil War who supported the Confederate States and were involved in treason. And it's still there. There's Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
Now, what do you say to people, though, that say if you do that, then you're judging him guilty without a
We know what's happened. We know from the evidence being gathered, they were conspiring against an illegal election. They were trying to overthrow the government and put Trump back in without having won. So this is treason and sedition. And it's not just, they just have a viewpoint. If they said it, that's one thing, but they took action. That's the difference.
Well, you and I know that, but there are a lot of people on the other side of the aisle that would disagree with us.
They're not watching and listening. They're listening to Fox News. Now OANN looks like it's out of business.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
But honestly, Fox News is treasonous itself. It's promoting a bunch of lies, and Laura Ingraham has the nerve to be thrilled about the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley having COVID-19, although he has had vaccinations. She was so excited, even her own brother said it's disgraceful and that she has a cross, but that's not being a good Christian. She's this horrendous individual, Lori Ingraham, and she should be off the air.
Where did she learn that kind of...
Well, she has had a whole life story. She was in college involved in anti-gay and anti-abortion and anti-gun control. I mean, she's a mental case. I really think she is. And she's gleeful about Mark Milley being sick, although apparently not much, but at least he had the vaccinations.
Yeah.
But the point is, if he died, I guess she would be cheering it, right?
I guess.
That's sickness. Person like that should be
sick
of care. And honestly, in many cases, in many radio stations or TV stations, they would not let them be on the air. Lara Logan was dropped from CBS because of making comments comparing Dr. Fauci to Dr. Mengele.
Yeah,
they should cut these people out. Just fire them. Even if they have to pay some money, just get them off the air because they're promoting hate and division and mental illness, really, the way they act.
Well, I don't know what to even think. I'm so surprised that people are so evil.
It's the case
evil.
Of her and the case of Neil Gorsuch involving Sotomayor. How evil can he be? And he knows now it's been reported. You think he'll change his behavior? I would like to think so, but I don't think he will.
Hey, you might have your TV on. Has anything changed?
I don't have the TV on now, because I wouldn't be able to. I'm not looking at TV now.
I got you.
But I'm saying, I would think if I was somebody, it'd be more like, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I'll put on a mask. But I'm sure he's not going to.
No, it doesn't sound like. And it also sounds like it's not a matter of that you don't believe in it. It's a matter of you're on that team. It has nothing to do with science.
For others, you wear this damn mask for a while. You don't have to wear it everywhere.
No.
Don't go out to the bowling alley or to the restaurant and ignore it unless they enforce it at those places. But when you're around co-workers, you do the right thing.
Well, I'm going...
If anybody at the station gets near Mary Ellen Withrow, for instance, they should wear masks.
Well, I'm going to as I always do after the Wednesday show, I go to the grocery and do shopping for my wife and my sister-in-law. I always wear my mask.
So do I.
Uh-huh.
So do I.
Yeah, always wear it.
Wear it 24 hours a day. When around other people, particularly elderly or people with diabetes like Sonia Sotomayor, you think of others and you do the moral, ethical...
Yeah. Why not do what's right and what's safer for people around you? It's because you're selfish.
They don't care about anybody but themselves. That's the problem. They're evil forces. They really are. Yeah. I'm sorry. If that sounds like drama, it's still the facts.
Yeah, and we used to be... You know, people say that we are a Christian nation, and you as a Jew probably don't agree with that, but what happened to the Christian nation? You're not being very Christian.
No, but we're also Orthodox Jews, and as a group, are not being very nice either. You know, so we are a nation of a majority who were born Christian, but we're not any specific Christian denomination, so we're not a Christian nation. The Founding Fathers did not want that. They want a separation of church and state.
Okay, as a Jew, do you have Jewish friends that are going to hell? Is there a hell in the
Jewish
Jews?
Who I think are quite evil in their way of doing things, yeah.
But is there a hell in the Jewish religion?
But I have people that I'm very stunned about, people I knew all my life, and I no longer want to bother with them, and... You know, so I would say, I don't know if I could go to hell, but I just think, I don't know how these people live with themselves, but, well, you know, I don't associate with them anymore.
In your religion, though, what I'm asking, is there a heaven and a hell?
Yes, there is, yeah.
All right. I didn't know that.
I don't focus on hell, though.
Okay, well, at least you're not using the D word too much anymore. Well, Joe Peterson, my friend who was listening, I hope you're still listening. I hope you enjoyed yourself, because we had a good day today.
We always have a good time, yes.
We're getting down to our final 5 minutes, and
extra time. It seems like it was going slower because we started earlier.
Yes,
like
we started way earlier, yeah. Okay, I'm trying to find out, what do you think of my puppy dog that I pictured today?
Well, it's the same picture you've had before.
I look at it, and Buddy's such a cute dog. He is my he's my executive producer. And last night, we got him my daughter-in-law sent us a sweater for him, and you know it's been really cold up here. You don't know what 5-degree wind chill is.
Oh, my gosh.
We had that last night, or not last night, 2 nights ago. And so he's wearing his little sweater even in the house now. So we're keeping him warm.
Yeah, I wanted to mention the few minutes that are left that there's this Thomas Friedman of the New York Times suggested a coalition against Trump. He suggested maybe have a Democrat and an anti-Trump Republican run together.
That would be cool.
Joe Biden with Liz Cheney? No.
No, not that.
Joe Biden and Lisa Murkowski?
Maybe.
Maybe. Kamala Harris and Mitt Romney?
Well.
Abrams and Liz Cheney? Amy Klobuchar and Liz Cheney. I don't think it will work. And I pointed out that the one time it was tried, Lincoln ran with Andrew Johnson for the second term. Andrew Johnson was a total disaster when Lincoln died and he became president. And there was times when people talked about a coalition, like Hubert Humphrey with Nelson Rockefeller in 1968, but it didn't happen. John Kerry with John McCain in 2004. John McCain and Joe Lieberman in 2008. But I don't really think it would work. But my God, there's no way Liz Cheney would run with Joe Biden.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
God forbid, if he did pass away, we'd have Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter. I like what she's doing, but I don't want to be a heartbeat away from the presidency.
Has she practiced with a shotgun yet?
So the only one I can even imagine is Biden and Murkowski, but I don't
think
she's
see that. Yeah.
You know? And she's also from Alaska. Very few electoral votes.
Well, and she ran
Republican, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
She ran as an independent.
In 2010. She may have to do it again, depending on what happens in the primary. Yeah, and I also wrote about Lindsey Graham, a toady to Donald Trump, who John McCain would condemn in more. He's just unbelievable. Now he says he would not back that Graham, Mitch McConnell, if he doesn't really back Trump.
I
don't like McConnell, but there's no reason McConnell should back Trump, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine why anybody would, but that's me, you know.
And also, Republican National Committee is talking about refusing to participate in presidential debates in 2024. That's unacceptable. In my mind, if they don't want to do that, they should not be on the ballot at all. That's all. Well, you have to be involved in presidential debates, in my mind.
Now, how long have we had presidential debates? Have we had those always?
We had 60, we had, of course, Kennedy and Nixon. Then starting 76, every 4 years, we had presidential and vice presidential debates from 76 to now.
Did Lincoln have a presidential debate with whoever?
No, he had a senatorial debate in 1850. Okay. He had a series of debates with Stephen Douglas for the Senate seat. And by the way, Virginia, its new government, unbelievable. They talked about Lincoln-Douglas debates with an S, two S's, thinking it was Frederick Douglas, the abolitionist, who
is
was
that right?
Black. How stupid and ignorant can they be? They didn't realize it's Stephen Douglas, one S. That's an embarrassment. Virginia is going down the tubes like Florida and Texas now with the new governor because he's also also trying to prevent masking of students and faculty and all that. And it's oh my God.
Well, I did call Secretary Lincoln, so.
Yeah, but Douglas, Frederick Douglass, two S's, is very different from Stephen Douglas.
I think, doesn't Trump think Douglas is still alive?
Yes, he does think he's still alive. He died in 1895. Anyway, I see time is just about
up. Yeah, we got about 40 seconds. So.
Yes, I had a great time again. Thank you so much.
Let's get back together.
Laughs, right?
Next week, we'll do it one more time, all right?
Yes, if you get any more information about your family background, please let me know.
And I did, by the way.
So why don't you write me on Messenger?
I'll message it to you.
Yep. Because I'm curious about it, all right?
Yeah, and it's not a positive thing for you, but I will message
it. Whatever, I'd just like to know, yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Feynman. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Feynman, on the air with us, and you've been listening to A Progressive Life. I'm Glenn Coble. I got to get out of here. We only got a couple of seconds. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place for